All right, the spiritual significance of the number 18. We've already learned that the multiplication of any number simply amplifies and matures the number's meaning. For example, if the number 6 signifies incomplete mankind because he was created on the sixth day, then the number 66 amplifies and matures the concept of incomplete mankind. Number 666. And if 12 signifies foundations, then 144,000 would amplify and mature that concept. Our study today is concerned with the number 18, which is a multiple of the number 9. Nine is unlike any other number in that no matter which number you multiply it with, the product of that number will always reduce back to 9 when added together. If you multiply 9 by 2, you're going to get 18. If you add 1 and 8, you're going to get 9. One plus 8 equals 9, and 3 times 9 equals 27, and you add 2 and 7, you're going to get 9. And this is unlike any other number. This is the only number that does that. Four nines are 36. You add 3 and 6, and you're going to get 9. Five nines, 45. Four and five is 9, and so forth. The spiritual significance of the number 9 is judgment, which leads to salvation. And the fact that everything reduces back to it tells us that judgment is inescapable. And leads to salvation is demonstrated by this verse here in Isaiah 26, verse 9, which I quote all the time. With my soul I have desired you in the night, yea, with my spirit within me I will seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. They don't go to hell and burn forever when God's judgments are in the earth. They learn righteousness. Doesn't matter how stubborn you are or who you are or how rebellious you think you are, God is doesn't even break a sweat to break that old man down. Now here's the link to that study 9 for those who want to look into it. If indeed the number 9 signifies the Lord's judgments leading to repentance and deliverance, and knowing that the multiples of any number amplify and mature that number, we should expect to find that principle being demonstrated throughout the scriptures, and indeed, in the first two places where this number 18 appears in scripture, that's exactly what we see. The first place it appears is in Judges 3:14. So the children of Israel served Eglon, king of Moab, 18 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed, and by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, king of Moab. And this the gave them a chance to subdue Eglon. Israel's subjection and enslavement by Eglon, king of Moab, is the Lord's judgment upon them for their sins. It was their judgment which led to their repentance and their deliverance. When your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. And that was the case for every judge that was in the book of Judges. They led to repentance and deliverance, and then the cycle repeated itself. The next time we see this number is in Judges 10, starting in verse 7. The anger of the Lord was kindled against it, was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. And that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel. 18 years, all the children of Israel that were on the other side of Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was sore distressed for 18 years. Now, what's the result of the Lord's judgment of our sins and our repentance for those sins? Judges 10, starting in verse 10, the children of Israel cried to the Lord, saying we have sinned against you, both because we have forsaken our God and also served Balaam. Serving Balaam means that they kept days, months, times, and years. And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, did not I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from the children of Ammon and from the Philistines, the Zidonians and the Amalekites and the Maonites did oppress you, and you cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand. Yet you've forsaken me and served other gods, wherefore I will deliver you no more. Go and cry to the gods you've chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. And the children of Israel said to the Lord, we have sinned. Do you unto us whatsoever seems good to you. Deliver us only, we pray you, this day. And they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord, and his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. Then the children, look at that, it said his soul was grieved. Then the children of Ammon gathered together and encamped in Gilead. And the children of Israel assembled themselves together and encamped in Mizpah. Once again, the Lord's judgments of our sins produces repentance of those sins, and the deliverance we all so desperately need. Judges 11, verse 32 and 33. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hand. He smote them from are o'er to even till you come to Minnith, even 20 cities, and unto the plains of the vineyards with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before Israel. The sins and judgment of those sins of Israel leading to repentance and deliverance from those sins is signified by this number 18. That's what it signifies. Deliverance from sin. That was the number of years Israel was oppressed by her enemies. Paul tells us that all these things happened to Israel, and they're written for our admonition. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says just that. Now, the Israel of the Old Testament signifies those who are now claiming the name of and character of Christ. It's now we who must come to see our sins and repent of those sins before we can be delivered from our bondage of desiring to be as the nations and the people around us. The next time we see this number 18 is in the story of the destruction of the tribe of Benjamin for raping to death a concubine of a Levite who had spent the night in Gibeah, a city of Benjamin, in the home of a man of that city who had invited him into his house for the night. Kind of a repeat of the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Real, they have a lot in common. We will see in this story that both Israel and Benjamin lose 18,000 men each in two separate battles. The men of Gibeah had demanded that the host who had taken this Levite and his concubine in for the night, they had demanded that they send this man out to them so they could do with him what the men of Sodom had done to the two wanted to do to the two angels who had been invited into Lot's home. The Levite gave the men his concubine, and the men of Gibeah raped her to death all night that night. The next day, the Levite got up to leave, and she was laying there dead, and he cut her body up in 12 pieces and sent it a piece to each tribe of Israel, hoping for the revenge, the loss of his concubine, who had given her life for him. The story of what had been done to the Levite's concubine outraged the entire nation. They determined to discipline Gibeah for this atrocity. Today, we would think that they should have put him to death for sending her out there instead of sending himself out, but that's not the way it went down, and that was all of the Lord for our admonition. So all the men of Israel were gathered together. This is Judges 20, starting in verse 11. All the men of Israel were gathered together against the city, knit together as one man. And the tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribe of Benjamin, saying, "What wickedness is this that is done among you? Now, therefore, deliver to us the men." They just wanted the men that did it, the children of Belial, which are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and put away evil from Israel. But the children of Benjamin would not listen to the hearken to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. But the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the cities unto Gibeah to go to battle against the children of Israel. Israel only wanted the guilty men, but all of Benjamin refused to punish these perverts among themselves. Benjamin was of Israel, and what had been manifested at Gibeah was actually lying dormant in all of Israel, as it is in all of our flesh. The Lord has used this occasion to punish both Israel and Benjamin, even though Israel inquired of the Lord daily before going to war. Judges 20, starting in verse 14. The children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the cities of Gibeah to go to battle against the children of Israel. The children of Benjamin were numbered at that time out of the cities 20 and 6,000 men that drew the sword, besides the inhabitants of Gibeah, which were numbered 700 men. Among all this people, there were 700 chosen men, left-handed, every one of them slinging stones in a hair breadth and not miss. And the men of Israel beside Benjamin were numbered 400,000. So you got 400 versus 26 that drew the sword. All of them were men of war. And the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God and asked counsel of God and said, "Which of us should go up first to the battle against the children of Benjamin?" And the Lord said, "Judah should go up first." It is in this situation, amidst the loss of thousands on both sides, that Israel and Benjamin both lose 18,000 men in two separate battles. Judges 20, verse 25. And Benjamin went forth against them out of Gibeah the second day and destroyed down to the ground of the children of Israel about 18,000 men. All these drew the sword. These 18,000 were just the second day. Israel had lost more than that on the first day. Children of Israel, this is Judges 20, starting verse 19, rose up early in the morning and encamped against Gibeah. And the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin, and the men of Israel were put themselves in array to fight against them at Gibeah. And the children of Benjamin came out forth of Gibeah and destroyed down to the ground of the Israelites that day 20 and 2,000 men. So 20 and 2 plus 18, they'd lost. What, 40,000 people in just 2 days, with apparently very few Benjamites being slain. It's plain for all to see that the Lord was not happy with either side. Nevertheless, he did give Israel the final victory over Benjamin for the atrocities committed by the men of Gibeah against the concubine of a Levite. Chapter 20, starting in verse 26, then all the children of Israel and all the people went up and came unto the house of God and wept and sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until even and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And the children of Israel inquired of the Lord, for the Ark of the Covenant of God was there in those days. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar and the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days. And they said, "Shall I go out to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother, or shall I cease?" And the Lord said, "Go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into your hand." 22,000 the first day, 18,000 the next day, and now Benjamin is going to lose 18,000. Israel was given to exercise a much bigger strategy, better strategy, on the third day, acting as if they had come to fight in the same manner they had the first 2 days. Then they intentionally fled before the men of Benjamin, while the liers in wait came out of the fields and burned the city behind Benjamin's soldiers, causing them to flee for their lives. Judges 20, starting verse 29, Israel set liers in wait round about Gibeah, and the children of Israel went up against the children of Benjamin on the third day and put them in array themselves in array against Gibeah as at other times. The children of Benjamin went out against the people and were drawn away from the city. And they began to smite the people and kill as at other times in the highways, of which one goes up to the house of God and the other to Gibeah in the field. About 30 men of Israel died to draw them out of the city. And the children of Benjamin said, "They are smitten down before us as at the first." But the children of Israel said, "Let us flee and draw them from the city unto the highways." And all the men of Israel rose up out of their place and put themselves in array at Baal Tamar. And the liers in wait of Israel came forth out of their places, even out of the meadows of Gibeah. And there came against Gibeah 10,000 chosen men out of all Israel. And the battle was sore, but they knew not that evil was near them. And the Lord smote Benjamin before Israel, and the children of Israel destroyed the Benjamites that day, 25,000 and 100 men. All these drew the sword. So the children of Benjamin saw they were smitten, for the men of Israel gave place to the Benjamites, because they trusted unto the liers in wait, which they had set beside Gibeah. And the liers in wait hasted and rushed upon Gibeah, and the liers in wait drew themselves along and smote all the city with the edge of the sword. Now there was an appointed sign between the men of Israel and the liers in wait that they should make a great flame with smoke rise up out of the city. And when the men of Israel retired in battle, Benjamin began to smite and kill of the men of Israel about 30 persons. For they said, "Surely they are smitten before us as at the first battle." And when the flame began to arise out of the city, with a pillar of smoke, the Benjamites looked behind them, and behold, the flame of the city ascended up to heaven. And when the men of Israel turned again, the men of Benjamin were amazed, for they saw that evil was come upon them. Therefore they turned their backs before the men of Israel unto the way of the wilderness, but the battle overtook them. And them which came out of the cities they destroyed in the midst of them. Thus they enclosed the Benjamites round about, and chased them, and trode them down with ease over against Gibeah toward the sun rising. And there fell of Benjamin 18,000 men. All of these men were men of valor. And they turned and fled toward the wilderness unto the rock Rimmon. And they gleaned of them in the highways 5,000 men, and pursued hard after them unto Gidom, and slew 2,000 men of them. So that all which fell that day of Benjamin were 25,000 men that drew the sword. You know, they started out with just 26,000, so they're really getting wiped out. All these were men of valor. But 600 men turned and fled to the wilderness under the rock Rimmon, and abode in the rock Rimmon 4 months. And the men of Israel turned again upon the children of Benjamin and smote them with the edge of the sword, as well as the men of every city, as the beast and all that came to hand. Also they set on fire the cities that they came to. So Israel was given deliverance from the sins of Gibeah, while Benjamin was almost wiped out as a tribe. Judges 21, verses 2 and 3. The people came to the house of God and abode there till even before God, and lifted up their voices and wept sore and said, "O Lord God of Israel, why has this come to pass in Israel, that there should be today one tribe lacking in Israel?" Israel was given to find a way to give wives to the 600 Benjamites who had survived and were at the rock Rimmon for 4 months. In the end, they too, the Benjamites, were delivered and returned to build their cities, and the foundation of Israel, 12 tribes, was preserved, and they both learned their lessons. The spiritual lesson in this story is the same as it is in the story of Achan. Now, Achan was the one who kept the silver bar and the Babylonian robe and the wedge of gold, and caused the whole nation to suffer for it. That's what the lesson is in the story of Gibeah. The Lord said to Joshua, this is Joshua 7, get thee up, wherefore lie you upon your face. Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accused thing and have also stolen and dis of the accused thing, cursed thing, I'm sorry, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. They had already conquered Jericho, and they were trying to conquer Ai, and they had lost some men, and they didn't understand why. Children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of you, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Israel had just destroyed Jericho, and they were moving on to war against another small city called Ai. For some strange reason, they were defeated by this small town, and they just couldn't figure it out. Joshua 7, verse 5, the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shibarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore, why have you at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns their back before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what will you do unto your great name? The Lord revealed to Joshua that someone had taken for himself what the Lord had forbidden. And for that reason, the curse was upon the whole nation. That someone was a man named Achan, who confessed his sin and was put to death. Joshua 7, starting verse 19, Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray you, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what you have done. Hide it not from me. Now look at the difference between the Old and New Testament. You confess your sins in the New Testament and you're forgiven. You confess your sins in the Old Testament, you still die for them. Achan answered Joshua and said, I indeed have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, well, we all want to wear a Babylonish garment just naturally, beautiful Babylonish garments, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted them, and I took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran under the tent. Behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. They took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them to Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. Just like the people of Israel did to Benjamin, they killed everything, goats, cows, everybody in every city in Benjamin. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord shall trouble you this day. And all of Israel stoned him with stones and burned him with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised up over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger Wherefore, the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day, meaning trouble. Once the sin was repented and removed, the Lord delivered Ai into the hands of Israel's hands, and Israel destroyed their enemy with the same strategy used by Israel to destroy Benjamin many years earlier. Later, many years later. Joshua 8:10. Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people, and they went up, and he and the elders of the people before the people of Ai, and all the people of war that were with him went up and drew nigh and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai, and he took about 5,000 men and set them to lie in wait, just like they did with the Benjamites, in ambush before between Bethel and Ai on the side of the city. And when they had set the people, even all that was on the north of the city, and their liers in wait on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. And it came to pass when the king of Ai saw it, that they hasted and rose up early. And the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and his people, at a time appointed before the plain. But he was wist not that there were liers in wait in ambush against him behind the city. While the number 18 is not mentioned in the story of the conquest of Ai, the principle of judgment leading to repentance, followed by deliverance, signified by the number 18, is very evident. The next appearance of this number 18 is when King David was renowned for slaying 18,000 Syrians in the Valley of Salt. At that time, the Lord delivered David from all of his enemies. David got him a name when he returned from smiting the Syrians in the Valley of Salt, being 18,000 men. And he put garrisons in Edom. Throughout all Edom put he garrisons. And all they of Edom became David's servants. And the Lord preserved David in whithersoever he went. This was following David's trials and his judgments at the hands of wicked King Saul. At this time, David was humble and he was delivered from all of his enemies. Another appearance of this number 18 is in giving us the measurements of the two huge copper pillars at the front of the Temple of Solomon. Each pillar was 18 cubits high. That's 27 feet, or 8.23 meters. The placement of these pillars, which were 18 cubits high at the front of the temple, signifies that we are being delivered from our sins. And after being judged for those sins and repenting before we enter into the house of our Lord. We find the same number with the same significance in the New Testament. Christ made it clear in Luke 13 that this number signifies the repentance and deliverance which we all must experience when being judged of the Lord. Luke 13, starting verse 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think you that they were sinners above all men that dwell at Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The same number with the same spiritual significance, repentance before deliverance, appears twice more in this same 13th chapter of Luke. Verse 10, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work in them, therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, "You hypocrite! Doth not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox and his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. This woman was delivered from a spirit of infirmity which kept her bowed together to the extent she couldn't raise herself up for 18 years. But at that point, she was delivered from that infirmity and made whole. There's much more that can be pointed out in the scripture concerning the number 18, but I'm going to close the study at this juncture by pointing out that 18 is three sixes, and three signifying the process of judgment, and six signifying our incomplete, carnal-minded old man who is in the process of being delivered from that sad state through the Lord's judgments. And I quote again Isaiah 28, 26, verse 8 and 9. "Yea, in the way of your judgments, O Lord, I have waited on for you. The desire of our soul is to your name and the remembrance of you. With my soul have I desired you in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." That's our study for today. That is truly good news to be brought out of what has held us for so long, as that woman and all those who were held by sin for so long had to endure. But that number 18 signifies deliverance from the sin that binds us and the salvation that follows.